This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This podcast is brought to you by Midland Radio USA, your leader in overlanding and off-roading communications. Also, join the brigade at truckbrigade.com, the best of the best for off-road and overlanding gear. And Rigid Industries Off-Road Lighting, own the night with Rigid.
Welcome to the Anderson Overland Podcast.
All right, welcome back to the Anderson Overland Podcast. I am your guide host once again, Joey Anderson, and I am super stoked to have Daniel and his lovely wife from Wonder Tears with us today. How are you guys doing? Welcome.
Good. How are you?
Good, good. This is a beautiful windy afternoon out here in Arizona. So trying to stay inside as much as possible.
But
what about you guys?
We just got back from the pool, actually. That was like 80 degrees and sunny. It's beautiful. Hot.
Yeah. Oh, sorry to take you guys away from that.
No, it's all good.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully it won't keep you for more than an hour and you guys can get back to that, because that'll be awesome.
Oh, that's fine. Well, we were working, so.
Oh, yeah. Right on.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, we're supposed to go over to some friends for dinner here this evening and go out on the boat, but hopefully it won't be too windy. We'll see.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Yeah. So anyway, so, you know, there's obviously a ton of companies doing all sorts of different things. And it's funny how we ran into each other. Do you guys remember how we met?
Oh yeah. At the gas station in the east of, like, right over the border. Wasn't it into California?
Yeah. Like Hesperia, I think, or Oak Hills or something. Yeah. Yeah. It was crazy. I was like getting gas. I looked over. I'm like, they look like people I'd want to talk to. So
yeah, it was same with us. Same. We saw like some stickers, and I think, did you have the rooftop tin on?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
And we're like, I'm like talking to her like, hey, we should go talk to that guy. And it turns out you have a podcast, which was kind of crazy, but.
Yeah. And I just started it then, I think, too. Right. It was like, what was that, last year sometime? Right.
Yeah. That would have been last.
Either end of October, or beginning of November, November.
OK, yeah. So I'd had it for a little bit. But yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, it's funny. I think we were on our way back from San Diego when I saw you guys. I just sold, we had a Tundra build that we did, and I just sold it and I drove it to San Diego. And I think we were on our way back from that, if I remember right. That might have been when that happened, but yeah. So, I mean, obviously, you know, I saw what you guys had with you and I was like, dude, that is sweet. And tell me about who you guys are, what you guys do, and what is Wonder Tears?
All right. So I am Danny. And this is Paige, and we started Wonder Tears. It's a teardrop company. We build and sell custom made teardrops. It kind of started, but we also do DIY stuff. But it started back in 2019 when we were trying to look for a new solution to tent camping, where we were like backpackers, right? So,
oh, sweet.
And yeah, so we like to go hiking and kind of the whole survival mode type thing where you have everything on your back that you need to survive with or survive on. So we started, you know, researching things. We got rained on way too many times in the tent, waking up just, you know, sopping wet in a puddle of rain, not peeing the bed. But yeah, so basically I've always been a handy guy and, found teardrop campers. And I'm looking at this and I found that there's a huge DIY community around them. So we just kind of, I told Paige, I'm like, I think we can do this. So I just started doing a lot of research. I became obsessed over it. I taught myself SketchUp, trying to figure out how, you know, the perfect shape it needed to be. Basically I spent like 3 or 4 months designing it. And then finally January came along, January 2020.
Yeah.
And we put this thing together. We put a deposit down on a trailer frame, and that was kind of like the
kickoff.
The kickoff. Yeah. We're like, yeah. Okay, well, the money's in. We got to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we really started as more of just building, like creating a solution for ourselves, right? So mm-hmm. we love to get out and camp, but it was just such a hassle, you know, getting all the gear out of the closet. And then we like to move around a lot. Mm-hmm. So even if we aren't backpacking and on the trail, like we like to switch spots. So half of our trips would be setting up and taking down camp.
Right.
And then it was just, and then you get back and you're exhausted, right? Because Nala's trombone.
The last thing you want to do is,
yeah. Yeah. Like our dog does not sleep well in a tent. So we'd get back from a trip and then still be tired. So we were just like, we need something better. And he designed it all. He's 6'2". So he's like a pretty big guy.
Yeah. So am I. Yeah. Yeah. Everything you sleep in, you're like, gosh, dang it, man. This is designed for like someone's like 5'8" or something. Yeah, that's ridiculous. Nice,
right. So yeah. He designed it for his body, which is like, so people are always like, oh, I'm so tall. I can't fit in one of those. And we're like, actually,
hold on a second. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there was a point where I'm laying down and she's got a tape measure and I'm bending my knees up to try to see exactly where, like how far from my feet do my knees go, like to their highest point, you know what I mean? When I bring my knees up, like where the cabinet faces it are,
the doors,
you know, everything. So like when you sit up in the bed, the cabinets are right there, perfect distance. So you can kind of grab things, but
well thought out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. I mean, I think a lot of these manufacturers that are doing this kind of stuff are just kind of just, you know, hey, this looks like it's going to work. We'll just manufacture a ton of these things, and they don't put the time and effort into, you know, really listening to the customer, or listening to, you know, friends and family that are, you know, doing this kind of stuff, and mm-hmm. really putting that, you know, forethought, you know, together for the product. And that's awesome to hear that you guys are doing that, because I mean, that's going to go a long ways for you guys, you know, for the future and long term stuff for your product, to put that kind of, you know, attention to detail in there, especially for people like us that are bigger dudes, and you're like, you know, all cramped up on these things. And yeah, that's rad. Well,
that's another thing is we're so shocked at, like we use ours all the time. Right. So like, this was all before this was us trying to figure out what we would need and what we would want.
Right.
And now, you know, we've been traveling in it consistently for a few years. So we've made improvements and like switched out a couple of little things here and there. Because we do use it all the time. We're constantly like, oh, what if we did this? Oh, like,
yeah,
let's put something here. So that definitely helps us like give advice to either DIYers or people who, you know, get a custom camper from us and ask us our honest opinion. Like, do I need this upgrade? Like, do I need timber and suspension, or can I get away with the other thing?
Right.
And so we have traveled in all different places. So we can kind of help them figure out what's best for them.
Right.
Instead of like a one size fits all.
Right. Right. Yeah. That's rad that you can, you know, I mean, I guess I should ask you, like, your customers now can, you know, ask you like, hey, this is kind of what we're looking for. And you guys can kind of tailor that to them.
Yeah. For the most part, we have kind of a base model, and then we have upgrades Like she mentioned, the timber and suspension, that's an upgrade. It's kind of, if you don't know what that is, it's a more rugged, independent suspension. A lot of people use them for off-road trailers.
It also just makes the ride smoother. So our personal camper, the first one we built, we do not have that suspension because we just didn't really know about it even. We figured like the guy we're buying the trailer frame from is like a trailer frame manufacturer. Like, oh, he's going to tell us what we need sort of thing. So we just have a simple leaf spring, which is fine. We've gone and we've taken in all different types of terrain, but it's definitely, it's a spring. So when you hit a bump, it bounces back, right? The timbrand is going to absorb that. So whereas we have to kind of like take our time on the bumpy dirt roads, we can still get everywhere.
And it's I definitely recommend it for off-road people, you know, people taking it overlanding or off-roading. But I also recommend it for the highway. Like you, it's just such a smoother ride. And,
you know, especially nowadays, you never know the maintenance on these roads, man, how gnarly the they are.
God. Going through certain states,
we live in South Carolina.
It's pretty bad out there. Now we have this stretch between like us. So we live right on the Colorado River and Arizona, California border, like right on the river, and like between the river and like we have property out towards Flagstaff, and it's in this area called Seligman. And like between here and there, the road out there is so freaking gnarly. But it's like a 2-hour drive. But like, if you go up through like Peach Springs, like West Grand Canyon and come around, it's like, you know, 4-hour drive, but the road's great, you know? So you're like, sometimes you're like, oh, I want to drive the freeway and deal with all this stuff. You know, it's like, it's nuts. And the semi trucks, you know, when they're in that lane, you know, their lane and the road is just nasty. They're just swerving all over, you know, and it's crazy. There's so many accidents up there all the time, and it's just, I hate it. But yeah, that makes a huge difference. I know we have the Smitty built Scout trailer, the off-road trailer, and has the independent off-road suspension on it. And it makes a huge difference. Huge difference.
We take our customers' trailers on test drives just to see how they go. And every time I take it with the timber and suspension, I'm like, damn, we need this.
Our next one is definitely having it.
I mean, and I always, you know, our shop is kind of has like a rocky road. So I'm always like, I go right over it not as fast as I can, but you know, I'm not going to go super slow. I want to see how this thing handles over rough terrain. And if I did that with ours, it'd be like off.
Bouncing around back there.
We tow it. So yeah, it's funny.
Do you guys have your own like proprietary like hitch system for like articulation and stuff? Or do you like recommend, you know, a certain company for that?
So no, we've used the, is it the Max Coupler? And it's just an articulating hitch. It has, we actually use the one that you bolt on to the frame itself. I know they have the receiver type where the trailer has a 2-inch receiver and the coupler is a receiver. So you can kind of swap them out if you need to easily. But the one we've used is you just bolt it to the frame, and then it has, you know, it's an articulating hitch. So yeah, had good luck with that. So, and it's super heavy duty. Max Coupler, I believe is what
Max it's Coupler. I have to check that out. We use the lock and roll hitch, which is pretty beefy. You know, one of those knee kickers. You don't want to come around and get you, man. But it works pretty good. I mean, it's, you know, we've had our trailer up in some pretty gnarly terrain and stuff up like towards, I don't know if you guys are familiar with Mammoth Lakes in California and like Owens Valley, the area, Bishop, all that. We've had some pretty gnarly trails up there in Flagstaff area, and it's done pretty good. But I'm always curious to see what people are using, because, you know, you're just what other products are out there. It was actually pretty difficult for us to find that. I had no idea that that was even a thing. And then one of my buddies got one of these too, and he's like, yeah, I use the lock and roll. And I'm like, oh, I'll have to check that out. And it worked out pretty good. But yeah, I've been seeing a bunch of different ones like on like Turtleback and a bunch of other, you know, companies that are starting to kind of come out with, you know, different options now. But
yeah,
that's rad that you guys are doing the independent suspension option. I think that'll be a huge selling point for you.
Oh, it definitely is. I recommend it to everybody, and they usually end up getting the upgrade because I think it's so necessary.
What are your weight capacities on that thing?
So the trailer frame itself, or the trailer camper itself, weighs about 1,200 pounds.
Oh, wow.
So when we do the leaf spring axle, we use a 3,500 pound axle, but then the leaf springs are 2,000 pounds because we don't want so much bounce. Resistance mm-hmm. and bounce there.
Right.
And then with the timber and suspension, we use either the 2,000 pound, the one ton HD. So it's a little bit heavier duty. It's got thicker, it's made from thicker steel. Mm-hmm. Or we'll go with the 3,500 pound timber as well. So mm-hmm. they both work awesome.
Yeah,
that's cool.
And you know, the 3,500 pound, actually our camper is a 3,500 pound leaf spring and it's super bouncy.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
But the timber and 3,500 pound, just, it really absorbs everything pretty well. So.
And do you have a lot of people like storing stuff in the sleeping area of the trailer as well? Or, I mean.
Yeah. So when I feel like when you're traveling, you kind of stuff a bunch of stuff on the inside. Mm-hmm. And then when you get there, you kind of pull everything out, mm-hmm. but the weight doesn't really add up, you know?
No, it's most of the stuff is in the galley too. So like
right.
your kitchen stuff and your cooler and everything. Yeah. We try cool. not to put a ton of things that like to travel on the bed if we
right.
can help it, because then you're moving things back and forth. And one of the right. great things about these is you get to where you're going and you don't have to set anything up.
Right. So right.
Mm-hmm. When we were traveling in winter, it was a little harder because we were bringing just
more
things, because we're both very warm weather people. So I way overpack whenever it's cold.
Yeah.
So we would have like,
so does my wife.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, what the heck? Like, you brought everything on the bed with you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So funny. She brings like the entire bed, like everything, and then everything in the closet, yeah. like just stuff it in there. I'm like, oh my gosh, like you can't even fit in this tent. There's like this much room now. Cause I'm like,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. We're kind of the same thing too. We came from, actually we came from Big Bear Lake. I don't know if you ever heard of Big Bear Lake. It's a big resort yeah. town in Southern California. We lived up there for 20 years. And then we 3 years ago moved to the desert out here just to get out of California. Cause it's just freaking insane out there. Mm-hmm. We'd had enough. So we were like, let's get out of here and get to somewhere where we can be as close to California as possible without being in California. Yes, so we moved out here and my wife's parents live here. So that was part of the reason. But we went from 7,200 feet in elevation to 453 feet in elevation. Oh, wow. And from like, you know, 75, 80 degrees in the summer to, you know, 118, 120 in the summer. Wow. So it was quite the shock for us, you know, to get used to that. Now, you know, we go somewhere when it's like, you know, summertime temperatures at Big Bear, you know, like 70 degrees. We're like, oh my God, it's freezing. What are we doing? Right. Yeah. But yeah, it's, you know, it's weird how, you know, over a little bit of time, how your body just kind of gets used to that, you know?
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah. But yeah, we've definitely camped in some pretty cold spots, you know, and I definitely agree with you that, man, it's a huge difference being inside of something that's a little bit more stout with a frame and, you know, a hard top than being in a rooftop tent. We've been in some pretty gnarly storms in mm-hmm. our rooftop tent and some temperatures, and we were fine. We have a tent that never leaked and we got lucky that way. And we were in some pretty crazy torrential downpours, yeah. but, wow. but man, it's just miserable though, you know, and being inside something is a little bit safer. I actually just sold, we had an RV that we bought because we have a toddler, and I was like, you know, with a new baby, we have a 12-year-old daughter too, but with a new baby, I was like, it's probably not a good idea to be in a rooftop tent with him. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We got an RV, but then, you know, I was thinking, oh, it's going to be better for, you know, just, you know, being out of the elements and a little bit more yeah. protection. But we missed doing the Smitty Built Scout trailer thing and, you know, being in a rooftop tent and doing that sort of camping. And so we went back to that. But man, there's something to be said about being out of the elements. But where we usually camp at our family property, we're building a cabin out there. So that'll be our kind of shelter to get out of the elements yeah. when we need to. But I've always thought about getting a teardrop trailer.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
you know, But the only thing that kept me away from it was the height thing. I've always been like, I'm never going to fit in one of those things. Like there's no way, yeah. you know? So that's awesome that you guys are giving that option out for
oh, yeah.
people we like us, it. Man. That's yeah. rad.
And then you just throw a rooftop tent on that For the kids.
Spare bedroom.
Yeah. No, oh yeah. I was going to ask you, can you like throw a tent on top of like a rooftop on top of your frame? Like it's strong enough to do that.
Yeah.
That's rad.
So we've actually had a couple, the first family that kind of kicked us off with building these for other people. It's a family of four. They were out in LA and they like, we had started posting things on social media, kind of helping DIYers and just posting about teardrop travel. And they reached out to us and were like, can you build us one of those? And we're like, yeah,
sure.
So we did. And they have two kids. Now they're 5 and 3, but at the time they were 4 and 2, I guess. I don't know. Yeah. Anyways, we put a bunk in it and everything. And then when, you know, the kids get, so they're sleeping horizontal, like perpendicular over your feet. And then when they get too big, they'll just put a rooftop tent on top. Or we have like a Rome, there's an awning room that attaches to like our Rome awning. And it's like completely enclosed, like with the floor and everything.
Oh, like so an annex?
Yeah.
Cool.
Next room.
Oh, yeah. That's rad.
Yeah, that's pretty popular in the overland community too, just for your car, I think.
Yeah.
But we found that it works perfectly with teardrop campers because there's no like a lot of the drawbacks of a teardrop is there's no place to stand up inside.
Right.
So that basically eliminates that that argument because it's you basically have it's like a 6.5 by 8 foot room.
Yeah.
Completely enclosed. You could put a dog in there. You could put your kids, a couple cots.
It kind of keeps, if you enjoy teardrop camping and everything, when you have, you know, a couple and then a small family and then your kids get bigger, it kind of allows you to stay in that space without having to like get a bigger RV or like tow a bigger trailer. We use it mostly for like bugs and when it's like raining during the day. Otherwise, I mean, we're usually just outside and we try and camp where there's not a lot of people. So
yeah, so do we. Yeah, we like being as dispersed as possible.
Yeah.
Or
don't really have to hide from anyone.
That's funny you mentioned the bugs. We've been to some pretty gnarly places where you're like, oh my God, you have to have something like that to just, just so gnarly. And it's like these like times of the day too. You're like, oh, it's fine all day long until like the sun starts going down. That's just Donkey Kong. You're like, oh my God.
It doesn't matter what you do.
We were in Yellowstone.
Yeah. We were between Yellowstone and Grand Teton. There was like a little state park
there. I forget what it's called, but we went and found a campsite and had the fire going. I was literally just standing in the smoke trying to get these bugs away from me. It was swarming. It was so bad. We ended up going into our teardrop probably about like 5 or 6, which never happens. We usually go, you know, we go into the teardrop when we're going to bed.
They're in there all night.
we just put on some, I think The Office.
Yeah.
And
nice.
Watched a whole series or a whole season. But yeah,
that's cool.
So that was the only time we have got stuck inside the camper.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were in Flagstaff one time. My daughter, we put up this like special, like eating tent thing, just to be out of the bugs and stuff. And it wasn't that bad, but she hates like moths and stuff. Like she can't stand flying insects. And so we're like eating dinner. And I look over and she's like, kind of away from camp with this thing set up and she's sitting in there with the dog eating by herself. I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, I'm good. I'm all set up in here. You guys have fun with your bugs out there. She's just sitting in this tent by herself, eating dinner by herself. And the rest of the group is around the campfire, you know? So funny, but yeah. But I mean, there's, like I said, there's been some places we've been to as well that you're just like, oh my God, this is miserable. Like we are so out of here tomorrow. Like this is stupid.
Yeah.
You know, next day we were freaking gone. So like what kind of amenities are you guys offering with, you know, like say your base model, what's just the kind of the default that you guys build in these things for people?
So the base model comes pretty base.
Well, no, I would disagree. I would say the base model has everything. You don't need to add anything to the base model. You can get the base model and be completely comfortable. You have all the essentials, everything you need, pretty much everything that we put on our own the mm-hmm. first time is what's included in like the base model.
So that's a cooler slide out, area for a cooler, an area for a water jug in the back, and then
that's rad.
Drawers. And then we're still in the galley, the two cabinet faces both come off and they're like little side tables.
Oh, that's cool.
To give yourself a little bit more workspace.
But also, this is I underappreciated stuff that I'm like, it's so great. Like, so the cabinet faces come off, right? So now you have twice as much countertop space and they're on either side of the camper. So you can cook wherever there isn't wind.
Oh, that's right? Rad. Yeah.
So you have wind blowing from one way, you can kind of hide. And then I like to be in the galley and he's usually on the stove on one of the sides. Mm-hmm. And then we're like in an L shape. So we're not in each other's way.
That's cool.
But then also, when you take off the covers, now you have free range of everything in your galley. And when you camp for a long time, it is stuffed in there. Right. So as soon as you get there, you start pulling things out and like you're cooking. If you have doors or even like slides and stuff, you're just having to move things in order to like get other things.
Yeah. Yeah.
So having definitely that just free range. I have some Italian in me. My hands are just talking. Free range of everything is like super great. You know, I feel like it's just one of those little details that people don't think about. Uh-huh.
Right.
Sorry.
Yeah. And I mean, that takes, you know, getting out there and doing it. I mean, you know, that's what I tell people with, you know, what we're doing too. It's like, you know, we're not just a weekend warrior family. We're out there, you know, 150, 200 nights a year doing this, you know,
wow,
right before COVID at least. And that kind of centered monkey wrench into everybody. But, you know, now that things are kind of getting back to normal, you know, we're getting out there and hopefully going to get out pretty often this summer and, mm-hmm. get to the expos and things like that. But yeah, I mean, that experience is what, you know, it takes to build a good product, you know, and like I was saying before, you get these manufacturers that they're just trying to get that, you know, that quick dollar on stuff and like, we'll just put something out. Let's just get it out, you know, get it from China or whatever. Right. But when you have a company that takes time to put into things, makes a huge difference. And especially from, you know, your point of view, Paige, like, you know, the wifey, you know, stuff like that we don't think about and vice versa, you know, like that having that package together as a married, you know, couple to think of those things that the other one wouldn't necessarily think of, you know, is huge to you. So that's rad. Right.
Well, I guess I can continue.
Sorry. Continue your base model.
The base model.
We're there. What else is
base? So that's the galley. So you have a full kitchen galley is like what we call it, because you have this the cooler slide and everything.
Yeah.
And then on the interior,
you get the full cabinets. The cabinet doors open up from the top, or they do this.
Yeah.
They have a little gas strut.
So it holds it up.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
Instead of opening like that. In your face.
Yeah.
It's kind of, and then when it's open, that door is kind of in the way, right?
Right.
It just puts it out of the way. So
puts it to the roof, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, so you have cabinets, we also have an option for just like a shelf with a cubby underneath the shelf, which is my favorite because you can just throw a duffel bag up there and there's no, it's not a confined area. It's just a shelf. You just toss everything up there. That's what I appreciate.
But see, I like cabinets because then you get to close the mess away.
All right.
No, you don't have to look at your bag on top of there. Wow. And I think most people agree with me.
Yeah.
We did some custom stuff to our trailer too, like that, just, you know, kind of hide things and just, you know, things that Smitty built didn't think of that we were like, well, let's do this. You know, it's kind of fun. We're getting a second one actually that's supposed to arrive here hopefully this month. That we're going to, I just doing like another complete build on it, you know, just from our experiences and things that we didn't like from the first one and, you know, things that we did, like that we did to the first one and things like that. So, yeah, it's fun.
You're buying one of their models and then redoing it, or?
Yeah. Yeah. We just, the first one that we got, I just bought it and then customized it into what we wanted it to be. Added all the amenities that we wanted, you know, solar and, you know, our galley type stuff and shelving and electronics and, you know, tire packages, mounts, all that stuff. You know, we put, mounts for our rotopacks on the sides and all sorts of stuff. You know, just things that we're like, you know, we need this. We don't want to carry this in our truck, you know, where the family's, you know, traveling and, you know, just ends up, you know, taking so much room and, you know, fuel being on top of the vehicle and stuff. Like I've had things, you know, the rotopacks, they swell and then they start leaking. And, you know, if you don't really close them tight. Yeah. And like different temperature variations as you're traveling and stuff. So those learning those things while we've been out so much is, you know, enabled us to, you know, make that into what we wanted. Now we have a second one coming and I'm going to do some things differently now that I'm like, well, I didn't like what I did before it worked, but I'm going to do it different, build it different, more, you know, robust kind of stuff. But I love doing that stuff. Like the DIY, like you guys are talking about, you know, you guys just created this thing from, you know, you had a problem and you came up a solution and, you know, now you've built this awesome product for people. I almost wish I didn't order a spinny belt. Now I'm like, I should have. but you know, like that ability to just build it into what you want it to be, you know, for your own is huge. And it's, right, so you guys like pack, you guys sell that as like a DIY package where like it comes like not built, or do you guys kind of just provide like just a main like base model and then people can add to it from there? Or how does that work?
Actually, it's just right now, it's just the plans. And, but that we're getting to that. We have some equipment that we're going to start cutting out kits.
Oh, sweet.
And hopefully put everything into like a pack. You know, you can buy the trailer frame from us now. So like if you buy our plans, you can get the trailer frame and everything goes perfectly on it.
Oh, wow.
So you don't have to go try to find a frame that's going to work for this build and modify it and stuff like that.
It's also just ridiculously hard to find a quality trailer frame.
Right.
The reason we started building our own is the people we got it from, they just throw either a box trailer or just, it's just for utility purposes. So it doesn't have to be perfect. Right.
Right. Right.
We're building campers. Like it needs to be flat. Like you have to take your time with the welds so that you have a flat, everything is perfectly, like the dimensions are specific, like being off an eighth of an inch does make a difference.
Right.
So we started building our own, and then we actually had a lot of our DIY community reaching out to us asking like, can I get a frame from you? Like, can you sell me a frame? And so we just were asked enough times that we're like, you know what? Yeah, let's do it. So
yeah, that's awesome.
That's kind of an evolution as well. Like we're just kind of listening to what the people like want and need.
Yeah.
So we have kind of two sides of Wander Tears. We have the DIY, which is, we have three different sets of plans. So the Vaga is like our, most popular model. That's the one that we use. And then we have the Renegade, which is a little bit more simple, but still, you know, teardrop-ish shape. And then we have the Hopper, which is your basic budget sort of thing. Simple. Super simple. Anybody can build, like it's, we break it down.
In a week.
Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome.
And Chili build it in a weekend and take it like for 3 weeks across Patagonia.
What if you're somebody who's like not very experienced with like building stuff? Is it pretty easy for people to like, you know, I'm like super mechanically inclined, but I'm decent at building stuff out of wood, but like I've never even thought, you know, that I could build a, you know, a teardrop trailer. Like what's like the skill level that you'd think that people need for that?
Vaga, I would say you need definitely some experience and a nice toolbox full of tools. The vat or the hopper though, complete opposite. You could probably get one of those kits or like a combo kit from Home Depot or Lowe's with like a circular saw, jigsaw, drill. I mean, you could probably
be good to go.
And so we've tried to make it. So he made like the plans and everything.
Lines, no curves. Yeah. Very easy cuts.
But just that's like cool. For the plans themselves, I'm very, very detail oriented in an annoying way sometimes to him, because he'll be like, people get it. Like, you don't have to say that. I'm like, but I don't get it. So I'll right. like, we both can understand everything. So it's great for the people who have the ability and then we break it down even more for people who don't necessarily aren't in a wood shop and like, don't know the terminology. Yeah. So that if I'm reading through the plans, I can understand everything and I'm not.
Yeah, that's huge that you guys, compliment each other well in that aspect, you know, to be able to, that's rad.
We do have several people that have built the Vaga, which is the more experienced one, that they said they didn't have any tools. They didn't have any experience. It turned out really well. So,
wow. That's rad.
It typically takes about four months to build.
Oh, wow.
The Vaga.
Mm-hmm. Also depending on how,
that's like working weekends.
Right.
Yeah.
We had, and then, so some people build it completely as we designed it. And then some people will, modify it for what
budget, or they just think they want to try something different.
Mm-hmm. Well, we had someone in, Puerto Rico building one. And again, he had a trailer frame that was slightly different dimension. So it was a little bit shorter. It wasn't the full 8 feet. So he ended up, changing the curve a little bit, but still used the methodology and the links and all of that sort of stuff. And then we just had another family. I forget how many kids they have, but instead of having it come with the teardrop shape in the back, he had it straight and had a flat door so that he could fit more bunks for the family. Oh, wow.
Right.
So you can build it exactly how we've done it, or you can
just take the methodologies and kind of apply it to your own.
Yeah. That's cool. Rad. Yeah. If you guys, like you were saying, if you guys have that capability and then you put something together where it's like a package deal where you're able to ship, at least maybe just the base model out, here's the template. Here's the pieces, here's the instructions, here's the videos or whatever, send that out. That's going to be insane. Nobody's doing that.
We're excited.
Nobody's doing that. I haven't heard of anybody doing that.
I know. And it's,
maybe I should cut that part. I should cut this part out of the podcast. Right. So we don't let your sounds.
we're just excited. Cause right now, so we're building custom ones. So if people who have no interest in building them themselves, they want a teardrop and they're like, make me this, please.
Oh, that's cool. They can just order one from you.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, rad.
So that's then cool. We have the DIYers who have the plan. So this middle ground, I think is just going to help.
Fill the gap.
The gap and help more people get into them who maybe they want to build it, but they're super nervous about making the big cuts or not super steady with the jigsaw. But they can put screws together and everything. Mm-hmm. Someone who, I don't know, just,
we could go on.
Yeah.
Get more people. That's how you got to do it nowadays. You got to stand out, from the rest. And I think you guys will do that. You're already doing that, obviously. But you fill that gap there and be able to provide those three options for people. That's killer. That's awesome. I just want the plans. I just want to build it myself, or I just want the kit, whatever I want, there's just to be able to provide that for people, is just going to be great for you guys. I dig what you guys are doing. It's great.
Thanks.
So, appreciate it.
It's a lot of work.
Oh, I can imagine.
We're having fun though.
And it's nice. Cause I quit my job back in July last year.
Oh, wow.
Full-time.
That's awesome.
That was great. It was really great.
Dude, you guys should take this to Shark Tank or something and get some freaking huge capital behind you. Perfect for that.
Sharks, if you're listening.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had a couple people interested in investing. It's hard to fathom that,
I know. I'm same way.
Yeah. Some equity, it's a very, we've been in business, official business, just over a year.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
So, we've gone a long way in a year. So we're excited to see what happens in the next year.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah. You never know what's going to happen too. It's good to just kind of, you know, take it slow, you know, I mean, everything is crazy. It is right now. And I'm the same as you too. I designed a fire service tool. I'm a fireman. So I designed this tool and just, you know, a better mousetrap basically. And, patented it, did everything, you know, to develop it, have a prototype. And I've had people like want to invest, you know, all this money into it, but I'm like super reluctant to, cause I'm like, what if it doesn't go? Or what if, you know, what if this happens? Or, you know, you're thinking like the worst case scenario all the time. And also, I mean, you guys probably aren't thinking that way, but I'm always thinking like, gosh, I don't want all this money hanging over my head, you know? But at the same time, you know, it's like, well, you kind of just, you know, I'm a risk taker too. You know, I actually backed out. I was in the fire service for 10 years. I backed out for a year because I had a solar energy company, which is another company that I had for several years, and it took off. And I'm like, I need to focus on this or focus on my firefighting career. And, at the time I wasn't able to promote in the fire service. I wanted to promote to captain and I just couldn't get there. And I was like, man, I'm going to do something else. So did solar, made a, you know, hand over fist, made money for a while. And then my business partner ended up embezzling from us. And so that was another story. Yeah, it sucked. And, so I stepped out of that just because of red flags and everything going on, just gave my, I didn't even make him buy me out of the company. I just gave it to him. Just like, I'm out of this. Yeah. And we found out some other stuff, you know, the embezzling thing later on, but anyways, you know, it's just, I'm an entrepreneur kind of dude, you know, and it's like, I see that, you know, that side of things from, you know, when I'm talking to people like you guys and you're like, okay, yeah, I get that. You know, I understand where they're coming from. You know, it's a lot of work to have a business. And, I kind of go back and forth. I was talking to, Brandon from, Topoterra in my last podcast, and he's a super big entrepreneur guy like I am. And you get this bug where you're like, man, I want to take off and do something. Or something comes up and you're like, man, maybe I should run with this fire service tool that I have sitting on the back burner. Or maybe I should do this, or, you know, in the overlanding industry too, which we're heavy into. I'm like, oh man, we should do this and that. But it's a lot of work. And I got back in the fire service after a year of being away and promoted to fire captain. Like I wanted to previous years. Wow. Finally. Yeah. I promoted last year. It's almost been a year now. And so now I'm like, well, I got the promotion I wanted, you know, I got a great crew and I got my own station and I love my days off. So I'm just going to chill for a bit. So now we're just camping and enjoying it, you know? Yeah. So it's just one of those things that, you know, is still in the back of my mind, like, hey, I should do something. But I also have a young family now too. So I'm like, just kind of chill. And maybe when they're a little bit bigger, I'll try and, you know, do something else. But I got I got a list this big, you know, stuff of, you know, ideas that I'm like, oh man.
Right.
But it's hard taking investment because, you know, you're just like, gosh, you know, it's just a huge responsibility. It's like, it's on like Donkey Kong. As soon as you take that investment, you really got to just be ready to freaking push and, you know, and take it to the finish line, you know, because, you got that hanging over you, you know.
I mean, it'd be like, you know, then you have somebody else's money invested. You feel a lot of pressure.
Yes. That's a great way to put it. The pressure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, I think you guys got a good thing going, you know, I think I definitely know you guys could handle it, you know, and have huge potential, you know?
Yeah. It's kind of scary.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you're going to get to where you need to go. Cause there's no other option. Right.
Right.
But it's just, sometimes it's hard to see, you know, it's hard to see further than 10 feet in front of you.
Yeah.
When you're actually doing all the work as well. So,
yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. It's one of those things too, where, you know, with me at least, you know, I don't speak for anyone else but myself, like with risks like that, I always think like, man, I don't want to be 10 years down the road thinking, you know, looking back on, man, I wish I would have done that, you know? And that was the thing with the solar business. I was like, you know, this is a huge opportunity to make a bunch of money, to really do something that's fun and, you know, new technology and help a bunch of people out. And that's why I got into it. And the company exploded, but, you know, and it's, I'd still have it if that stuff wouldn't happen. And everything happens for a reason. I'm glad it all worked out the way it did. Cause now I'm, you know, we're exactly where I wanted to be with my other career, but you know, you got to take those risks sometimes. And if you don't, you know, those are the people that get left behind, you know, and but it's hard. It's hard, you know, taking the plunge.
We're kind of, we're kind of at a, like an opposite situation where we don't have any kids, and I was working my other job and this was starting to take off. So we were like, well, if I don't quit my job, my government job, and we start having kids, I'm going to be stuck because I'm going to be in a different mentality.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was like, I'm going to quit. We're going to put all our effort into this and see where it goes. If it doesn't, I can always go back and, you know, find something else, but that's really not even an option for us.
So, yeah. You know,
it's we're in 110%. So.
Well, I'm stoked for you guys. It sounds like you guys are really on the right track, and you have obviously a great product. And like I said, huge potential to take it to the next level, I think. And we're here to support you however we can, you know, I mean, everybody listening out there, check out Wonder Tears for sure. Yeah, pretty awesome product from what I've seen. Our
communities, the people that listen to us, follow us or whatever. They are some of the, they're literally the reason we do it. We, you know, if they're so encouraging, they love it. They, you know, we get messages all the time saying, thank you for doing this.
That's awesome.
We really, really love that.
Yeah. The encouragement's the best, right? Just getting those messages from people or just really like pushes you down the tracks even further, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when one of our DIYers sends me a photo of their completed teardrop, I'm like, that's awesome. Amazing.
Yeah.
We created this. Like, that's crazy. Yeah. Yeah. Very rewarding, I'm sure.
Never gets old.
No. Yeah. And one of the things that like kind of brought us to starting the whole DIY plans and that is when we were building it, we wish we had a lot of things, right? Like there'd be like a simple question we need an answer to. And instead of being able to like text someone or message someone and be like, hey, what do I even Google to like, what is this called?
Right.
We'd search YouTube and then you go on the forums and like, it just, we tried to put into it what we wish we had and kind of be that person for other people that are building them to just be able to reach out and say like, hey, like what kind of washers do I need for this? Like what size, like it's, just simple
it's
questions.
It's the same with overlanding communities. You ask a question and it's just, and you get everybody's opinion.
Yeah.
No answers to your question.
Yeah.
Or someone in, you know, treating you like you're an idiot for asking a question. You know, I hate that. Like, dude, I don't know anything about this. That's why we're doing this, right? Like, you know, I hate that, man. I always try to do the same thing with people, you know, when they contact us about stuff. Like, I'm going to spend the time, you know, it's gone a long ways for me. You know, it's really done well for me as far as, you know, the success of the podcast and our community too, is, you know, putting the time in. Like, what it takes you, what, 5-10 minutes to look it up for somebody if you don't know, you know, or to spend the time to give them that information. That's just going to help them be, you know, more knowledgeable or, you know, safer or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, from the experiences that we've had and I think that's super important, you know, that'll sustain your business right there. I mean, that alone, that's, you know, with our solar company and we had that thing and it just got so big. The biggest focus for me was customer service. I don't care for losing money. I don't care what happens. Customer service is what we stand on. And if we don't have that, we have nothing, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's like you said, our community kind of is our business, right? Without the people and without everybody like excited about camping. And honestly, COVID, I think, opened a lot of people's eyes to like what they want to get out of life. Because you hear so many people being like, I want to travel more. I wish I could do this. I wish I could do that. And they were stuck in these 9-to-5s where they just were on routine. And then it kind of shook everybody up. And now you're left with all this time and you realize like, oh, if I'm not in the office one day, the world's not going to end because, you know, everybody went out of the office.
Yeah.
And so it's just kind of given people a new, I don't know, perspective on what's important. And for us, I mean, teardrop trailer is the perfect way to travel. You know, we really love being able to unhook and kind of, if we're in a more popular spot, know where we're sleeping, leave our trailer, go do things, and then come back to it. The gas mileage, I mean, we get maybe 2 miles per gallon less when we have our teardrop versus when we don't. Like, it's just, and it's always packed. So like we could decide tomorrow, like, hey, let's go to the lake. We just need to pack a cooler and clothes and we can go.
Yeah, that's so awesome.
It's been just so great for us. And it's a really good, I feel like a lot of people have similar mentalities, and if, right. whether you're going for a weekend, you're going for a couple months, like,
yeah. And the trailer can go literally anywhere your car can.
Yeah.
Right.
So with, especially with the timber and suspension, it's independent. The ground clearance is there. There, mm-hmm. you can put the bigger tires on there and just literally go off
wherever.
Know, on yeah. all the trails that you guys go on. We don't have those out in the East, but
no,
we wish we did.
Like, you guys have to come out here. I'll show you a good time.
Yeah.
That'd be great. Put those yeah. things through the motions out here.
Yeah. 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 But, and they're so light that you can pull it with like, literally a Prius can pull like our lightweight yeah, model.
That's so rad. I see a Prius so, going down the freeway thing.
Like you don't you don't have to like buy a giant truck for like a trailer. So it's in the camping world, it's actually a less expensive yeah. investment to
yeah,
like
that's get huge right now. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
yeah. With gas prices. Oh my gosh. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's I don't funny
know
about
what
that.
Our oh go ahead, sorry.
I was just going to go on a different out west. So you, yeah, everything is great out west. My brother and his fiance and their dog are actually traveling for 4 months in a teardrop.
Oh, wow.
And we told them to go west first and they didn't listen and they went north and they called us today from Florida. So they're in Michigan and they're like freezing.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And it's like the tail end of winter still up there.
Yeah. Ugh. They're like, what should we do? And we're like, go west, yeah. beeline for right. Moab. Yeah.
Set the Grand Canyon on your coordinates and head for that.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
that's what they're doing. So they're
that's
heading
cool.
they're heading west now. But
that's awesome. Yeah. Well, if they need any places out here, if they're curious about some great places, have them get a hold of me and we'll direct them okay. into some rad spots to check out.
Oh yeah. yeah. I'm sure yeah. they'd love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be super cool. I know it's funny, I've totally gone to places where I thought, oh, it's going to be fine. The weather's going to be fine. We went there and we froze our butts yeah. off. I mm-hmm. remember this trip specifically. I talked about my last podcast. As a matter of fact, we were at Grand Canyon. It was this time of year. It was just kind of a fluke, but it was like 26 degrees overnight. We oh froze God. Our butts off. I was like, oh, it's May. Like, you know, or whatever, like April, May, yeah. we're going to be fine. Like winter's over, like everything's melted. Right. Oh my gosh. No. That was it was not a good experience. Yeah. One of the guys that was with us had like one of those like those memory foam pillows, and it like was frozen like a rock the next yeah. morning. And like his face, God. He said his face because it was like he was like drooling, and it like froze to this freaking pillow. He's like, I like peeled this pillow away from my face this morning. I'm like, oh no. my God, dude! Like, oh, brutal.
That's crazy. Yeah, yeah,
that's where those my little buddy heaters come in play.
Yeah, that's what we like.
Yeah, we've used that. Which one do you have? Is it the like golf cart version?
I have the My Buddy. I think it's a 9,000 BTU.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think
it's like a little propane bottle that goes into the yeah. side of it. Yeah. yeah.
Mm-hmm. We put one of those in the teardrop and it keep it ventilated, right? But
yeah,
it heats up the entire thing in about 30 seconds.
Yeah. Nice. So we just turn it off after that. Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's such yeah. a small space, you know?
We need something yeah. with a thermostat, really.
Yeah.
But, that'd be sweet. Like some kind of solar, like powered little battery yeah. heating I mean, system have, of. Like,
they have Propex heaters that run off. You can set them up to, you know, they have thermostat and everything, but they're $1,500 or so.
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
if you. A Mr. Buddy heater is like $50.
We don't camp. Like we're not in the cold often yeah. enough to do
right,
that.
Right, right, right.
Yeah. For us, it's easier to just do the portable things because 99% of the time the vent fan is more than enough for everything.
Yeah. But yeah, that's true. I mean, that's the same with us too. I mean, we camp in some pretty cold, you know, environments here and there.
Yeah.
Colorado and up here, you know, Arizona, Northern Arizona and stuff. But, that My Buddy's been pretty awesome. Like you said, as long as you got in ventilation, and I mean, I even use that thing in our RV to we had a 26 foot RV and I freaking use that 9,000 BTU, My Buddy to yeah. heat the entire thing. And it we had like 16 degree temps one night and it snowed and we were up at our property and I just used that My Buddy and it kept up. We were a little bit like, it was right on the cusp. We were like, ooh, you know, maybe I should do a yeah. little like kick the RV heater on. But we were trying to save our battery so we could last, you know, off grid a couple more days without good sun and whatever. And, right. and so I used that thing and it kept up pretty good, but, yeah, there's, you know, there's all sorts of, like you said, like portable solutions for people. I think that, yeah. you know, even people out our way or up north would probably be good with just a portable solution, but you never know. Yeah. I mean, like you said, the more options you offer, I mean, maybe the better, maybe not. I don't know. That's something you guys will just have to check out and see, but
yeah.
So what's been like the favorite place that you guys have like taken your teardrop to, like what camping? You guys were going across the United States, right? For your honeymoon, maybe, was it?
Yeah.
When we saw you guys. Yeah.
Yeah. Valley of the Gods.
I was gonna say, yeah, pretty much Utah. We always end up spending way longer in Utah than we plan on, because it's I mean, once you get out there, there's just so much like untouched land and there's nobody there and it's just like beautiful and
yeah
we just love how like wild it still just is
the right? lifestyle yeah. out there too is it's everybody's kind of on the same page
right
and over here like it's very hard to find somebody who even understands what we're talking about.
You build Chinese.
What's a teardrop? What's overlanding?
And you mean camping? Wander tears, and I guess it can be confusing, but they're like, is this sad company?
Yeah.
Tears? Like, no.
No.
Yeah, we build top. Emotional camping experiences for you.
We cry when we go adventuring.
Yeah, we're a very empathetic company.
Yeah, but it's I feel like over here, there's just, it's a lot more RV type people.
Right.
Like they have big RVs. And like
like keeping up with the Joneses though. It's like, I got to get the biggest, baddest RV.
Yeah. $200,000 rigs and stuff.
Oh God, it's crazy. Yeah,
it is. It is.
And then we're literally camping between two $200,000 RVs.
Like two class A's on either side.
Right. And they got their generators going. They're inside. We're sitting by the campfire, you know, just having a great time, and they're watching TV. And I'm like,
What's
the point?
So I used to teach online. So we went to one campsite that we hadn't been to before because it had Wi-Fi. Uh-huh. And we were the only people outside for sunrise and sunset. And it was like a beautiful, like it was just gorgeous weather. Mm-hmm. And everybody else is inside. And it was just like mind blowing.
Yeah.
And that's another thing about the teardrops is people are like, oh, there's no inside living area. And we're like, well, if that's like,
that's your thing, buy an RV.
You don't need a teardrop. Like you don't want a teardrop.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like, if you want to be outside and like spend most of your time, like we love that the galley's outside. We get to hang outside while we cook and everything. Like if you want an inside kitchen, like you don't want a teardrop.
Basically, if you're,
right.
If you're a tent camper, but looking for a major upgrade, it's a perfect solution.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Like I was saying, you keep out of the elements a little bit more and keep a little bit warmer and still have that experience that you guys are providing your customers, you know?
And some people like the security of it as well. Like, super secure,
the hard shell,
you can lock it. I mean, from intruders, but also bears and
other things.
Other, you know, wild animals.
It's awesome to be able to, like, what I like about a trailer too is like with the RV, you don't get it, you know, and with your truck, really, you don't get it either. If you're just, you know, camping on top of your truck or your vehicle, with the trailer, you can just leave it in a camp, have it all set up, lock it up. You know, we just chain ours to a tree, lock everything up, and we bail for the day, you know, and the only thing that we take down is our tent. Everything else is, you know, kind of laid out and set up, and you know, just you know, close everything up and it's good. Right. Where you know, a truck, you got to break down camp everything every day, and you know, and take all your stuff with you and leave and come back. And with the RV, like, you can't just, like, you know, put the slide in and, you know, clean your house and go out for the day and come back, you know. It's such a pain in the rear. So that's awesome. That's one of the big things I like about that too, is just being able to disconnect and go do your thing, come back, and just a couple minutes, you're back in service. Yeah.
Well, and the big thing is, like, we usually camp in free camping, right? And like, a lot of times, if you get anywhere near like popular things, that camping is going to fill up like early afternoon.
Right.
And be we like to do the free stuff, but like we've gotten in a pickle where we either have to like get off the trails and like go find a camping spot at like 3 p.m. if we want a decent spot, or you're just, you know, going to drive around and maybe not find anything.
Yeah.
And so be able to like drop it off in the morning when you get somewhere.
And know your spot's still there at the end of the day. Yeah.
And then you can watch sunset and you can be relaxed. And then you come back and like, it's just, it's definitely been a nice.
I bet. Nice, well, I think the coolest thing about this, you know, about what you guys are doing is, you know, you guys have created this from, you know, experience, and, you know, that's awesome. Like, we wanted to do something different, so we're going to just build it, you know, and not many people have that ability or the drive or motivation to do that. And that's great. You know, and I think you guys just keep kicking butt and, you know, keep putting out a good product, and it's going to be great. And I really hope the best for you guys. And really hope that, this year, you know, keeps going well. And, you know, as far as lumber prices and all of everything else, you know, trying to get components for stuff has been a nightmare. And so hopefully that's eases up a bit for you guys too, because I can imagine that's, you know, frustrating at times too, trying to get stuff and people, you know, trying to get wood and parts and things like that. But if you guys ever are out this way again, you know, look us up and we'll take you to some secret locations and see how it goes for you.
That'd be awesome.
We'll be out there in July.
Yeah. We might
hit you up. Yeah, seriously. Yeah. I mean, we'll be around. I mean, I'm with my schedule. My schedule is 2 days on, 4 days off. So, I take one shift off. It gives me 10 days off in a row, which is sweet. So that's the only way that we're able to get out so much and do so much. And so, we'll be out. We're going to be at the, Overland Expo at the end of May, and we'll be out somewhere, you know, in the Western United States, probably, or middle United States in June or July, hopefully. So, let us know when you guys are coming out. We'll try and connect. That'd be sweet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Right on. Well, I will let you guys go. It's been an hour. I don't want to keep you guys any longer, as we could talk for several more hours, I'm sure. But how can people find out about you? Where do they find you online and on Instagram or social medias?
Everything is pretty much just Wander Tears. So wandertears.com is our website. If you want to email us, daniel@wandertears.com. And then Instagram is probably the best place. We check that often. And we're at Wander Tears. We also have Facebook,
YouTube.
Oh yeah. YouTube. Wander Tears.
Wander with an A.
Are you guys doing like a lot of DIY videos on YouTube? Has that been pretty cool for you?
We only have about 10 videos up, I think.
Yeah.
We're doing, we've done a couple tours of our models. We've done a
couple builds.
First two, we have time lapses of our builds.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet. We're going to get more into the DIY and also start like reviewing products, like helping people figure out like what kind of shower they want, or
what things like that they would want to add to the teardrop.
Like accessories, that type of thing.
Yeah.
Sweet. So, that's a great idea. Yeah. I mean, that's another huge avenue for you guys too, I think, is just, you know, like, hey, this is what works great with this application. This is what we recommend, you know, from our experience with this or whatever. Yeah. I mean, that's what people are looking for out there. You know, they're looking for a product that, you know, is well built and is going to get them, you know, something to enjoy their families long-term and have that support there. Hey, you might want to look into this, or, you know, this is what we recommend for this, you know, type of situation or product. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's rad. Yeah. YouTube is such a huge, I mean, resource for that. It's like, what do they say? You got, I always tell people I got my degree in YouTube and my master's in Yahoo and Bing, you know, it's such a rad resource. Yeah. I mean, we never had that when we were kids, or, you know, our parents never had that. Like, now to have that at your fingertips for anything, it's crazy.
I know.
Just last night I was working on, we have a Polaris Razor, and I was working on the suspension last night. I'm like, I don't even know how to like turn this collar, like how this works. And I just YouTubed it, and this guy's like, do this. And then 5 minutes later it was done. You know, it's insane. It's insane. You know, I hate going and finding manuals and looking through stuff. So it's like rad to just search on YouTube and just watch it for 5 minutes and be done and move on. Exactly. You know? Yeah. So cool. Yeah.
Great.
Well, thank you guys so much again for being on the Anderson Overland podcast. And I wish you guys the very, very best. And so great getting to know two awesome people, and look forward to a future relationship with you guys, maybe out on the trail. And yeah, thank you again for your time. And everybody listening out there, make sure you guys get over to Daniel and Paige's website, wandertears.com, and Instagram and Facebook and all that. Check them out. And give them some great feedback. But thank you guys again, and hope you guys have a great rest of your day. And hopefully you can go enjoy that pool again, maybe.
Yeah. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, you bet. Anytime. We'll do this again.